Well, welcome back to the roundtable and to our discussion with, I've been looking forward to this for a long time because I saw this exhibit a couple of weeks ago and just have been very excited to talk about it and talk about it with the two people and who are so responsible for it being in existence. This summer, the Norman Rockwell Museum is presenting the first comprehensive exhibition to look at the work of master illustrators Maxfield Parrish, N.C. Wyeth, and Norman Rockwell Norman Rockwell in relation to the history of Western art. With more than 60 works by 25 American and European painters, along with more than 300 digital representations of some 50 other artists, Keepers of the Flame, Parrish, Wyeth, Rockwell, and the Narrative Tradition reveals the lineage connecting American illustration to some 500 years of European painting through the long line of teachers who have passed along their wisdom, knowledge, and techniques to generations of creators. It was organized by the Norman Rockwell Museum, and the exhibition is on view through October 28th. It is curated by Dennis Nolan, an award-winning artist and professor of illustration at Hartford Art School at the University of Hartford. And Norman Rockwell Museum Chief Curator Stephanie Plunkett is with us as well, and it's a pleasure. Always nice to have Stephanie and Dennis with us this morning. Thank you very much. A great pleasure to have
you
both.
Thank you so much for having us.
Here.
Great to be here.
Well, let us begin with you, Stephanie, with the Norman Rockwell Museum connection as to why you wanted to go in this direction. And because I just find it's fascinating, this idea of tradition and being passed on from generation to generation and the connections of all of this, which must have been fascinating to explore.
Very, very interesting. I mean, I think we've all had influential teachers, so I think that's something that's meaningful to all of us in a certain way. But, you know, we at the Norman Rockwell Museum, we always try to establish a context for Rockwell. It's one of the things that we do in terms of Rockwell and illustration. And, you know, we had this wonderful thing happen, which is we have had a long relationship with Dennis Nolan. You know, and as a teacher at Hartford Art School, he has often brought his students to visit us. And, you know, some years ago, he spoke to me about this concept that he had about the ways in which illustrators are connected to the narrative tradition. And it was a way for him and to try to find for himself and his students that interrelationship with the way that narrative painting has been taught. So I think after some discussion, we realized that it would just be an absolutely fascinating thesis to try to get together and put on our walls and, you know, help our visitors to understand that relationship between narrative storytelling of the past, of the golden age of American illustration, and then, of course, of today.
It is a fascinating story to tell. And Dennis, I'm curious as to how you decide to tell it through these three illustrators.
Those three in particular?
Yes.
Starting with Norman Rockwell was easy. America's favorite storyteller with a paintbrush. And so if we were going to concentrate on narrative art, Norman Rockwell was certainly an obvious choice. When we started talking about the show, in fact, we were just thinking it's Norman Rockwell and who taught Norman Rockwell to draw and who taught that person to draw and who taught that person to draw. But as we explored the sort of richness that the show would have, Stephanie and I discussed other artists that we thought would broaden the scope of the show. And to choose Maxfield Parrish as the sort of inventor of his own make-believe world, and to choose N.C. Wyeth as the interpreter of classic literature. Those three really represent the broad range of the Golden Age of Illustration.
Talk a little bit about, I mean, you show this in the exhibit, but the connection between the three men.
Connection is, what they share in common is their narrative, their storytelling abilities, and their ability to draw, their ability to compose a picture in with an illusionistic, the illusionistic devices that were fashioned from the Renaissance forward in the European American tradition, and they held that that drawing skill in high esteem, and used it to create the illusions of their pictorial stories.
What do we know, especially with Rockwell, of his influences, how the other two influenced him?
I do know that he very much appreciated Maxfield Parrish, owned one or two pieces of his that he had requested from Parrish himself. Rockwell was a storyteller, a reader of literature, and so as far as the influence, I don't think you can see much influence as far as how Rockwell painted, but holding on to the narrative tradition, I'm sure that he felt a kinship with both Parrish and Rockwell.
How do you see?
I mean, Wyeth.
Wyeth, yeah. and Rockwell. How do you see that narrative tradition continuing today, and the influence that these greats have had on others?
As far as storytelling, you know, with a paintbrush, for want of a better term, you can certainly see it today in animated film, in graphic novels, in all sorts of easel painting, Western art, marine art, a great number of genres.
And to the credit of the Norman Rockwell Museum, Stephanie, over the years you have presented much of that art to people. And sometimes I think when it's initially announced, they're like, oh, well, how does that fit into what you do? But it does very much so, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think, you know, the notion that images impact us, that there are a lot of reasons for both creating them and absorbing them, you know, the way that they tell stories, I think connects to us in ways that sometimes words cannot. And so I think the variety of ways that artists have told stories with pictures has been something that we've tried to focus on.
So we'll get this question out of the way. But the obviously there was the whole brouhaha at the Berkshire Museum and the fate of Shuffleton's Barbershop, which now has a beautiful place within front and center in this exhibit. At what point did you know? I mean, you obviously had the exhibit pretty much sealed and done, then this comes available to you, and it fits in perfectly, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, when we learned that we were going to be able to borrow the painting for approximately 18 months, you know, we thought, well, this is really just the perfect kind of narrative connection. First of all, the composition itself goes back to narrative painting from centuries ago. If you think about Vermeer and the beautiful domestic interiors that he painted, and Rockwell was certainly an admirer of his. But, you know, I think in addition, that was a narrative that was inspired by Rockwell's actual experience living in Arlington, Vermont. That was his barbershop. You know, this notion of looking through a window into a world that we can't quite get into but can kind of admire from afar is a wonderful element of that picture. And it's just filled with detail and sound and light. Just kind of the best of the kind of storytelling that Rockwell did.
When was the last on display? When was that painting last on display?
It was last on display at the museum, I would say, at the Norman Rockwell Museum, probably about 5 years ago.
Okay.
We had done a changing exhibition, and that was part of it. And, you know, fortunately, Berkshire Museum at the time was generous in loaning it, so we were able to show it.
I asked the question because it's fascinating to see, because of what happened, that people are coming to see it. I mean, they want to see it. They feel a kinship to it, and they want to see it. And I mean, you could have just put it on a wall and kept it by itself, but you put it very much as a key part to this exhibit.
Yes. I mean, I think Rockwell was able to do a painting of that caliber because he had absorbed the lessons of classical painters of the past, whether they were fine artists or illustrators. So it just really fit in so perfectly. And you're absolutely right. People are coming to the museum and asking to go back to see it. Where is it? Specifically,
I saw so many people taking selfies with it. I just thought that was very cool. I mean, you don't see, like, that's great for a museum and great. Well, first of all, very nice of you to allow them to do that, but also that is something that people want to do.
Absolutely. I mean, I think trying to keep that as a memory, and there is the sense, I think, for people who know the story that, you know, we have it for a limited time. And
right.
then, thankfully, it's going to be in a public collection, which is terrific, but it will be on the other side of the country.
Right.
So we feel fortunate.
Very much so. We are talking about the exhibit Keepers of the Flame Parish, Wyeth Rockwell, and the narrative tradition. Norman Rockwell, Museum Chief Curator, Stephanie Plunkett is here, and Dennis Nolan, who is the curator of this new exhibit, is with us as well. I should mention a gorgeous catalog that you've put together. And Shovelton's Barbershop, this all happened in time for you to get the picture in the catalog. That was must have been a...
We slipped it in.
I know. That's good for you.
Last minute.
That
yes.
was very much last minute, but excellent. And of course, you can go into great depth in the story within in the catalog, as you both do. I'm curious as to the... I probably always ask this question, but the idea of what you want and what you can get when you're putting together an exhibit like this. But did you get pretty much everything on your wish list?
The initial wish list, we had to adjust a bit, but the wish list was really about the artists who we wanted in there. And I made a wish list of particular paintings from those artists, and a number of them were not available, so we went with other choices from those artists. But yes, I got every artist that I wanted, just about. Pretty close.
And do you help out in that?
You know, what the museum was able to do was facilitate the loan. So,
right.
I mean, Dennis's thesis, was very well established, and, you know, we... certainly just really tried to help him bring it to life, and that was our role. But, you know, that part is interesting, too, because there's always a little bit of sleuthing to do to try to find just the right fit, just the right example that's going to help you tell the story. And, you know, we had cooperation from more than 45 lenders, so obviously we don't have the kinds of classical paintings in our collection that we required to tell the story. We did have some important pieces by illustrators, but the classical works we needed to get from elsewhere.
Are there similar museums dedicated to the work? So there's the Norman Rockwell Museum. Is there a N.C. Wyeth Museum and a Maxfield mm-hmm. Parish Museum?
There's not a Maxfield Parish Museum, but there is certainly the Brandywine River Museum.
Sure.
For the Wyeth family.
Pennsylvania. Yeah.
And then there's the Farnsworth Museum in Rockland, Maine, and they have a Wyeth Center, and that's quite beautiful. That's
right.
Dedicated to all three Wyeths.
Jamie, Andrew, and...
And N.C., right. Exactly,
N.C.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about Wyeth's work. It is intense, isn't it? It is very vivid. It is very intense. It is... It's interesting because when you see... the paintings, I would say, in just looking at Wyeth's work, that it doesn't have the warmth. But when you see it next to a Rockwell, it does seem much more embracing, which I found fascinating.
I find it livelier.
Yes.
Than most painters. He was very emotionally involved in the stories, but he was able to put that into his breaststrokes. You know, they all seem like they were just almost dashed on, but certainly very carefully arranged and carefully composed.
A lot of this has to do with the work that he was illustrating for, too.
Yes, I think so. He responded to certain books that he was given to illustrate, and others he refused. He just felt like he wasn't the right person for the job.
Mm.
You know?
What was this connection with the work of Robert Louis Stevenson?
He was offered Treasure Island first as a book to illustrate, and he ended up illustrating a number of Stevenson's works. But I think he just felt connected to the adventure of the stories.
I think you mentioned, I'm getting my, I want to make sure I got this right, but you mentioned Child Garden of Verses in the beginning of the
Jesse Wilcox Smith
catalog. Yes.
Book. Yeah.
Which is which I grew up with that book. I mean, this felt like that the illustration of the Land of Counterpane is just,
yep.
I mean, that change my life.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah,
that particular image really really hit me as a child.
And that shows the power. I think that's what is beautiful in the essay that you've written, that shows the power that these illustrations have. I mean, you're showing them separately, but in the context of the literature, it's powerful.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I saw a good number of these, as I said in the catalog. I saw in their small reproduced versions in the book. But to see the originals on the wall is an entirely different experience. Really.
Talk a little bit about the cover, the image that you're using for the exhibit. It's gorgeous.
It is absolutely beautiful. It is the painting called Lantern Bearers by Maxfield Parrish.
Yep.
And it's now in the collection of the Crystal Bridges Museum, which is in Bentonville, Arkansas. So we were very fortunate to get it on loan. But it's really the perfect illustration of the kind of world that Parrish created, you know, a very fanciful, fantastical world where light was really his main subject. And, you know, when you encounter this painting, the lanterns that these PROs or clowns are actually carrying really almost glow from within. Parrish was known to use the technique of glazing, where he created many layers of thin paint, which was basically mixed with linseed oil and then varnished, and then another layer on top and another layer on top until he really achieved this feeling of almost a stained glass window with his work. And this is a great example also of his beautiful stylization. He used a technique which was called dynamic symmetry. You know, he actually measured out points on the canvas based upon mathematical formulations where main viewing points should be situated. And actually Rockwell tried it on a couple of works, and he said it was too constricting for him. But for Parrish, it was a way of actually organizing his canvases. And also he reused in this painting his favorite model, Susan Lewin, who modeled for him for many years. So, you know, I think design, fantasy, light were his subjects.
The white of the painting is beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just stunning.
Yeah.
And so well distributed, too. That's fascinating. When it comes to Rockwell, as far as the paintings that you chose for the exhibit and to be included within the works of these others, what went into that decision, and did it have a lot to do with who he was working for and what the individual pieces represented?
Yes. You know, I think in terms of Rockwell, as we all know, his special, the aspect of his work had to do with being able to look at the world around him and kind of create these wonderful humanistic portrayals. So we tried to show a range of those pieces. You know, we have everything from a beautiful scene of a grandfather and grandchild looking out to sea, you know, creating this sense of memory or longing. You know, we have something more contemporary from the 50s where a young girl is actually glancing at herself in the mirror, and also a movie magazine, trying to imagine what, you know, her future life would be or who she could be. So I think, you know, trying to express the breadth of Rockwell's expressions was one of the aspects.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, Dennis, if you would have other thoughts.
No, I agree. We also wanted to show for all three of the featured painters, we wanted to show their sort of their life's work, some pieces from their early career,
right,
mid-career, late career, and we were able to pretty much do that, especially because of the rich holdings of the Rockwell.
What do you see that in that arc, in that arc of a career?
You can really see in both Rockwell and Wyeth, especially a change in their work, their working procedures, their techniques. So it's fascinating to see the way that they were applying paint or designing compositions, and you can also see what kind of seriousness they brought to their endeavor, whether it was for advertising or for a uh, a personal story that maybe Rockwell was telling for the cover of Saturday Evening Post, or classic literature. You know, they all seem to give it their all.
If there was to be a fourth or fifth artist included in this trio, who would it have been?
Oh, wow. Well. Boy, off the top of my head, there are many who fit, because the Golden Age illustrators, most of them would fit into this lineage because of who they studied with. Jesse Wilcox Smith is one of my yeah. favorites.
Perhaps J.C. Leyendecker.
J.C. Leyendecker. Mm-hmm. If we were just going to go with American illustrators, those two definitely at the top of the list.
It could be a good list.
Yeah.
It could go on and on.
Sure. Yeah. We felt that we had to limit the show somewhere. Wall space.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't take over the entire Berkshires, although you could.
You absolutely could, because Dennis created these amazing trees, and he researched the portraits of each of the artists along this 500-year lineage, and created drawings that actually helped to connect them. And we also have a great interactive that shares that information as well.
In our few moments left, what else is, obviously the exhibit is up through the end of October, and you have other cool events happening as well.
We do. We have lots of great programs. We have a Thursday evening series which reflects back on the exhibition. This week on Thursday, we're going to be having a wonderful doctor, Dr. Giddens, who's going to be looking at the connections between psychology and the portrait, so that will be interesting. And there are many interesting portraits in this exhibition, for sure. So, yes, throughout the summer, lots of programs.
Well, the exhibit is Keepers of the Flame, Parrish, Wyeth, Rockwell, and the Narrative Tradition. It is on display at the Norman Rockwell Museum through the 28th of October. You can find out more information at nrm.org. That stands for Norman Rockwell Museum. nrm.org, because somebody will say, I tried N and it doesn't work. So just Norman Rockwell Museum, and you can figure that out. nrm.org. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Stephanie Plunkett and Dennis Nolan, thank you so much for sharing with us, and thank you for putting together such a beautiful, exciting exhibit, and really giving a high point of the summer to go and see it and spend time with these
thank
beautiful
you,
works.
Thank you, Joe.
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate being
great
here.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, the exhibit is Keepers of the Flame, Parrish, Wyeth, and the Narrative Tradition. It is on display at the Norman Rockwell Museum in Stockbridge through October 28th, nrm.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.